four companies now control 95% of the infant formula sold in the United States. When one of their factories was shut down recently due to bacterial contamination, parents panicked. And so we ask, is there a better way to feed the babies?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1320th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Frankfurt who are tuned into the streaming along in the podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, consider Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in our food. It's hard to imagine how anyone could get closer to the source of their food than a baby nursing at mother's breast. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to walk a Weston A. Price Foundation convention, and everywhere I looked, there was a baby happily nursing from their mother's breast. It was one of the most hopeful things I have ever seen up and down the food chain. Everybody was very happy. I thought of those happy babies and mothers when the Abbott Laboratory factory in Sturgis, Michigan was shut down recently for a bacterial contamination that sickened four and killed two. And I grieve for the babes and their moms. Gosh, what a terrible thing to have your source of food be shut off, gone. And so today we pause to ask, is there a better way to feed our babies? Well, here to help us find an answer, we have one of my favorite contrarians. She is Sally Fallon Morrell, who is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and the author of Nourishing Traditions. Sally, Weston A. Price Foundation has been standing in contrariness to the established order for a long time. And you know what? I think it's starting to have a pretty profound effect, because I think, given what people see in the food chain, they have to think there must be a better way.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, as you know, and as we'll talk about today, we have a recipe, actually several recipes for baby formula on our website. And two of them are based on whole raw milk. And the traffic on that page has gone up 1,000% since the formula shortage, along with a number of doctors warning mothers not to give their babies this dangerous formula that we recommend. And I have to laugh, because it was their formula that killed the babies, not our formula.
You know, that recipe is the reason I am hosting you today, because I went to the farmer's market here a couple of weeks ago and was talking to my real milk connection.
Yes.
And he told the story of how a mother came to him and said that I have a recipe from Weston A. Price Foundation, so I'm going to make my own baby formula. Mm-hmm. And she did, and came back a couple weeks later, and she said, I have the healthiest baby in the world.
Well, it's strange but true. Even our well-fed moms at the Weston A. Price Foundation, some of them do have trouble breastfeeding. They don't have enough supply, or they have to go back to work and it's not possible, or the baby isn't thriving. And when they put them on our formula, which was designed by Mary Enig to be as close to mother's milk as possible, the babies just take off. They do beautifully. We've had probably 20,000 babies brought up on the formula, and you do hear of the occasional baby that takes a while to get used to it, or that can't do any dairy at all, but we have not had any instances of foodborne illness from this formula.
Why not?
Well, raw milk is very safe. After all, mother's milk is raw milk. And moms are very careful about how they make the formula. You know, someone told Dr. Enig years ago that there's more quality control in dog food manufacture than there is in formula manufacture. And this Abbott lab was apparently filthy. There were pits in the dryers that could accumulate bacteria. There was water on the floor, and they were only shut down because of a whistleblower. The FDA just turned a blind eye to this until it was no longer possible to do so.
It seems like the FDA is very good at turning blind eyes
right.
at some things, but not other things.
Now, well, a few years ago they put into place more stringent rules about food safety, but it's still the same old story. Those stringent rules are applied to small people, but not to the big labs like Abbott. But after, you know, a couple of babies died, they had to address this, and they shut the factory down, then they opened it up again, and then after 2 weeks they shut it down again. So, our formula is very safe, and moms are careful in how they put it together, because after all, it's their baby.
Amen. And proximity. How can you get closer to the source of your food? Impossible. Yes, Abbott Laboratories. Somehow, the baby food world has become consolidated into four different companies that own everything. So
isn't that we hear that all the time? So why nobody's surprised at that? Yeah,
it always seems to work like that. But there's another thing that's been going on in our food chain, and I really hate to bring this up, but feel I must. And that is the 96 incidents of food fires or some kind of trouble in our food processing world.
Right.
Now, you know, if one fire or accident, one is an accident, two is a coincidence, what are 96?
Right, right. Now, I will say one of those was at the raw foods, raw milk, I think they call themselves raw foods now, formerly Organic Pastures up in Fresno, but they're back on track. They got up and going again within a couple of days, and that's the beauty of a small, you know, you're very flexible. And by the way, raw milk sales are just booming. Our farm sells raw milk. Every farmer I've talked to has said that this COVID thing, and then on top of that, the formula shortage has really increased raw milk sales.
Do you think it possible that somebody would actually attack the Abbott laboratory with bacteria contamination, or was it just a sloppy place to start with?
I think in this case it was just a sloppy place to start with.
That's reassuring a little bit.
Yeah.
But not totally.
But, you know, just getting back to the formula, if you buy milk replacer for a calf, it's basically formula for a calf, the third ingredient in the milk replacer is animal fat. And that's because baby mammals need animal fat. That's why there's butter in or butter fat in human milk and cow milk and goat milk. And one of the things they need the animal fat for is cholesterol, because babies don't make cholesterol. And they need cholesterol for the brain and nervous system to form the gut. They need the cholesterol for hormone production. And formula for human babies, I know of only one exception to this, is all based on skim milk and vegetable oils. So there is no cholesterol in human formula. And this is supposed to be scientific.
Whoa, now this is really... How extensive is the use? What percentage of mothers use baby formula?
Well, I think it's something like 60 or 70% are on formula. Even from birth, I think the number is quite high, 30 or 40%. Never even attempt to breastfeed.
So where are those babies getting brains?
Well, that's what you have to ask. Is this the reason why we're seeing a decline in IQ in this country? First of all, the babies are not getting any cholesterol, along with other nutrients they need from the fats, because they're not in the formula. Most formulas are not made with lactose. They're made with sugar or corn syrup or maltodextrin. And lactose is required for the development of the nervous system. And then when the babies are weaned, they are put onto fruits and vegetables with no fat in them, probably not even any salt, and salt is very important for brain development. So we just seem to have no idea how to feed a developing baby, and yet the science is very clear on what babies need. They need cholesterol, they need fat, they need the fat-soluble vitamins, they need the types of fatty acids that are in the animal fats. Arachidonic acid is very important for the development of the brain, and that's not in the formulas either.
It's so fortunate that we adults don't need any of those things, huh?
Yeah, right. Now, we need them too, but
there you go.
I mean, we can make cholesterol, but infants can't make cholesterol.
Hugely significant for the development of the brain.
Yes.
Now, the Weston A. Price Foundation has been standing up a long time and saying there are two kinds of fats, good fats and bad fats.
That's right.
I think you were one of the first to actually say we need fat, good fat.
We need animal fat. Animal fat is essential for life. It's essential for happiness, essential for growth. I wrote a book called Nourishing Fats. And the most tragic thing that we have done in our diets is believe these promoters of the vegetable oils and believe their lies about their competition, which is, of course, the animal fats. And so we are a nation that switched over to industrial seed oils. And this, more than anything else, is why we are experiencing a health crisis in this country. And we start with the babies. You know, we start at day one.
So they're making baby formulas without the essential nutrients.
Right. And so when we formulated our homemade baby formula, first of all, it's based on whole raw milk. You can add cream, actually, if you don't feel the milk is rich enough.
Like it rich then, right?
Yeah. We add extra whey because mother's milk has more whey than cow or goat milk. We use extra lactose because human milk is richer in lactose. It's also richer in vitamin C. And so we add cod liver oil for vitamins A and D. So we add all of these things to make it what it's supposed to be in a well-fed human mother.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program, and we are discussing a better way to nourish our babies. You know, when we have to wait on Abbott Laboratories, their factory in Sturgis, Michigan, and to feed our babies, don't you think we're in trouble?
Yeah,
maybe we're in more trouble than we think. If the babies are not getting what they need to develop their brains, we're in really big trouble. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson with Sally Fallon Morrell and you. When we come back, we're going to learn more about feeding baby and us.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. We are talking about feeding baby. And we're having this conversation thanks to Abbott Laboratories, whose factory became contaminated with bacteria, sickened 4 children, killed 2, to the extent that the FDA actually woke up and said, maybe we better do something. And so they did, and they shut it down for a little while, and then they opened it up again, and then I think they shut it down again.
Yeah, they had to.
And I think it's still closed, and I think everything is still a mess. And it doesn't have to be a mess.
Well, the FDA allowed formula to come in from Europe, and they allowed formula to come in from Canada, I believe. So we're not hearing screams of anguish. And, you know, I have so much sympathy for these mothers, because there's nothing worse than having your baby be hungry and starving.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing worse.
You know, when the hunger was happening and the hoarding was going on, and I just kept thinking of that Weston A. Price Foundation convention that was filled with nursing mothers. And I actually grieved for those mothers that could not feed their babies that way.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Or would not. I mean, there's an embarrassment in some mothers. They're just not going to do it. It's maybe they think it's yucky or something. And fine, I'm not going to be critical. I'm just going to say, well, let's make sure your baby gets the very best. And we've been accused of being against breastfeeding, but we're not against breastfeeding. We're for healthy babies and babies that aren't starving. So we absolutely do need a substitute for mother's milk that's healthy for these babies.
And there is one. But before we go there, I'd like to go back to the conventional makers of baby formula. There's only 4 left. How did it happen that in a nation this big, only 4 companies own 95% of the business? What happened?
Well, it's like everything else. It's like consolidation in the dairy industry. There's only 4 big dairy companies in this country. Consolidation of the meatpacking industry. And our government is not invoking antitrust laws the way they should be. I mean, this should never have been allowed to happen, but it happens. They consolidate, they buy small companies, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are some small companies making formula. I'm not crazy about these formulas, but one makes it out of whole goat milk, and there's another making formula out of whole cow's milk. So at least there are a couple of companies that recognize the importance of the fats.
Okay.
And you know why they don't use whole milk in these formulas? Because whole milk is expensive.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. There's a shortage of butterfat right now. And the industry makes so much money, more money from the butterfat by putting it into ice cream than to keep it in the milk. And so why are they going to waste this valuable butterfat on babies or growing children? I mean, that's how they think.
We're going for the money.
Yeah.
And the money's in the ice cream and not in babies. But holy smokes, if you're a parent, you got to know Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, which is cheap food isn't.
Yes, right.
And if you're feeding your baby formula that does not have the essential nutrients you need, then that food isn't cheap. It's expensive.
No, you're going to have expenses all that child's life with health problems. The other thing I run into is people don't want to make the formula. They say it's a big hassle. And it is a little bit complicated to make. Once you've done it 2 or 3 times, it's very easy. But basically, we're saying that moms or dads have to make this formula every day so that it's fresh, and it takes about 10 minutes. Oh, I don't want the hassle. Well, I'm sorry, honey, but babies are a hassle.
Yeah, wait till your baby grows up and is robbing liquor stores.
Is autistic or retarded. Yeah, and you have to take care of that child forever. And if it's too much of a hassle to make baby formula, is it going to be too much of a hassle to make breakfast for your child, to make them a lunch for school? I mean, parents need to realize that, yeah,
they're
it's
parents.
A hassle.
They're parents.
Yeah.
They're parents.
Yes, right.
And they're going to be parents forever, whether they want
right,
to or not.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you do when you feed your baby is you build yourself a foundation for a happy adulthood for yourself
yes.
and that child.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, well, let's look at the nutrients that they put in the formula and talk about some of them. I guess we start with protein, right?
Right. So the protein will come from either powdered skim milk or powdered or dehydrated whey and sometimes whey extract. And I'm very concerned here because these proteins are the most fragile proteins in nature. And when they're spray dried like that, they are warped and distorted, and the body says, oops, this is a foreign protein. I don't know what to do with it. There was a study, it's a recent one, 2019, it was in China, and they looked at milk proteins that had been heated, spray dried, freeze dried, and microwaved. And
wow.
In every case, these proteins were made rancid and created oxidative stress. And even the freeze drying, which is very interesting to me. And when they fed these processed dairy proteins to animals, the animals had damage in the spleen, the liver, and the brain. And the mice in this study had reduced memory capacity. So this is the number one ingredient in baby formula, and I think parents should know this, that with the kind of processed protein that they're getting in the formula is going to hurt their babies.
Well,
I know it's so shocking. Then, instead of animal fat, they put in vegetable oils, and the industrial seed oils are toxic to begin with, and they're the wrong kind of fat for the growing baby. One of the things that fat is missing is arachidonic acid, and of course they know this, and they do have a type of arachidonic acid that they're putting in. I'm not sure that it's quite the same. Also, DHA is going to be missing from the vegetable oils, and they've figured out how to make DHA out of algae. This is a very intense industrial process. It's bound to leave.
How do they keep those industrial seed oils from going rancid?
Well, they can't. They don't. They're rancid in the formula, and in fact, they're powdered in the formula, so even more rancid. And then the sugar is wrong. It's usually a corn sugar, high fructose corn syrup, or maltodextrin, or sugar. And it's the wrong kind of sugar. And the reason they use these ingredients is because they're cheap. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do with the science.
Now, how do you suggest mothers sweeten your formula?
Well, we suggest they use lactose, which is readily available. And lactose is very important for the
development
of the brain.
Well, that takes us back to proteins, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, that takes us back to the carbs, carbohydrates.
Oh, carbohydrates. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend for protein then?
Well, our formula contains whole raw milk, and that's where the protein comes from. Mother's milk is actually quite low in protein. It's only about 10% protein.
Oh.
10% of calories. And you don't want too much protein in there because that's very hard on their kidneys. They need the fats more than the protein.
And yet fats have been public enemy number one for so long.
Yes, right.
And so do you think that they're using the wrong kinds of fats, the industrial seed oils,
yes,
because of the ethics of fat being bad?
I think they use it because it's cheap. They're so much cheaper than animal fats. But they will also say, and somebody did say this to Mary Anna years ago. We know we should have cholesterol in these formulas. We know we should have animal fats, but the public's perception of them would mean they wouldn't buy our formula.
If you had, yeah, if you were to list cholesterol,
right.
People would commit suicide or something. Goodness sakes, you can't do that. And then,
we get into the vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
So sugar is probably a pretty significant thing because that's what gets the kids, I'm hungry, want more.
Well, surprisingly, mother's milk is high in lactose. It's sweet. It tastes sweet. And that's a nice thing for baby to taste that sweetness. It's the kind of sugar that's important for the development of the brain and nervous system. And that's what they should be using.
So it's possible for people, we'll talk about how to find these things when we get through. Let's talk about vitamins.
All right, so then we get into a real morass. One example is vitamin A. Babies really need vitamin A to grow, and most formula manufacturers don't put vitamin A in. They put carotenes. And thinking, well, the baby can convert the carotenes to vitamin A, but babies cannot convert carotenes, so that's useless to the baby. One thing they put in that they shouldn't be is iron, because mother's milk is low in iron, and it's low in iron for a reason, which is that iron competes with zinc, and baby needs zinc rather than iron. Ideally, when the baby's born, they wait to cut the cord so that all the cord blood goes into the baby, and that's like an infusion of iron-rich blood, which lasts up to 6 months. And then by 6 months, baby should be getting some solid food, and we recommend liver and pureed liver and egg yolks, both of which are rich in iron. So baby will need that iron around 6 months, but not before. And when the FDA decreed that all formula should have iron in it, there was a lot of protests from scientists who said this is not good. This is toxic iron to the baby.
And who was the FDA listening to at that time?
Well, I don't know who they were listening to. Probably the people from Tufts University. I forget the gal's name there, but they're, they pretty much dictate nutrition policy in this country.
So that's how we find ourselves in trouble. We're listening to the wrong people.
Yeah, absolutely. And people who are bought by the food industry.
You know, I just recently did an interview about the Impossible Burger.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I asked a question in the interview. I said, I can't understand this, and perhaps somebody could help me. I can't understand why a vegan or a vegetarian would eat a plant patty made disguised to look like the real meat that they don't want to eat.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And so I don't think there is an answer.
They miss the hamburger. We have in our store, we have a farm, we have on a store, we have a list of all the ingredients in the Impossible Burger, and then a list of ingredients in a real hamburger. It's one ingredient in a real hamburger, beef, and all kinds of additives in the Impossible
Burger.
Yeah,
I think I counted 19, but I may have miscounted because some of the words are so confusing. it seems like that's where what we've done with baby formula.
Well, breast milk is an extremely complex substance, extremely fragile, and I think part of the problem is we've simplified the formula. One example is they add folic acid to baby formula, where they should be adding the complex folate, so that, you know, they just use the simple forms of these vitamins. rather than the full complex of the vitamin. Same with vitamin D. There's 1,000 forms of vitamin D, and they're adding one to the formula.
Calling it vitamin D and calling it good enough.
Right, good enough. Yeah.
So that's an oversimplification. Has anybody ever studied the relationship of these different single element additions? I mean, you add a single form of vitamin D to A, and I know when you take different drugs, there's different reactions. If you have three kinds of drugs, you get all kinds of weird things.
Right. Well, I think there's not much money in trying to compare a manufactured substance with the way that substance is in nature, because there's no way they can truly imitate the nutrients in nature, and certainly not in a inexpensive way. So I don't know that they've really looked at this. Possibly they have,
but probably not, because it would just get them in trouble if they did. And the federal government does not look at it, because they rely on the manufacturer tell them if it's good or not.
And really, not many people even have the knowledge to formulate the formula.
Right. Yeah. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Michael Olson with Sally Fallon Morrell, who is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, one of America's great contrarians, and the author of Nourishing Tradition, which is another contrarian treatise, too. But if you want the real food, you'll know where to turn. And that's Weston A. Price Foundation and Nourishing Traditions. Right back for baby.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable. It's a must-read.
USDA Director Bud Kerr.
Big book. MetroFarm describes the agronomic, economic, and managerial concepts required to generate substantial profits from agricultural locales near metropolitan areas.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
History buffs, this tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place while the USS Dale steamed through the Bering Sea, January 1943.
We took some terrible waves up there. One time a big ground swell rolled us over so far I thought we'd never make it back. I was on the lee deck when the ship went over into that roll. Luckily, I was able to grab onto a bulkhead handrail, and when the Dale went over, my feet left the deck. I hung there with nothing between my feet and the ocean but air. I was scared. She went over on her beam, paused for a minute, then she shuddered and shook because one of her propellers was out of the water and thrashing air. Slowly, very slowly, she rolled back toward the vertical, and my feet found the deck again. That wave scared the devil out of me.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com. talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, folks, we've been going through the list of what's inside baby food. And kind of scary when it gets right down to learning what actually goes in there. It's kind of like learning what goes into an Impossible Burger.
Yes.
And frightening in that respect.
Including a kind of enzymatic fermentation process for some of the ingredients that results in all kinds of impurities being in there as well.
And we're giving this a consideration, of course, because the plant at the Abbott Laboratories plant in Sturgis, Michigan, was shut down for being dirty.
Yeah.
And
sickening and killing children.
And we're realizing that there's only four companies making baby food in the United States.
Yeah.
Only four. 95% of the baby food comes from four different companies.
Right.
Now, that's scary in itself because, as we've seen, when one of them goes down, parents freak out and scramble.
Of course they freak out. They're
that's their baby.
Entitled to freak out.
Yeah, it's their baby's food.
Yes,
but it doesn't have to be. You don't. We can get a lot closer to our food, and getting a lot closer, we can gain a lot of control. Might take 10 minutes a day of work.
Yes, right.
But it might save you a lifetime of terror.
A lifetime of heartache.
A lifetime of heartache, yeah.
Now, we would love for someone to go and do a study on our babies who've gotten the formula and see how they compare with babies who've gotten industrial commercial formula or even breast milk. And we could definitely arrange to find the subjects and do such a study, because that's where it's important, is has the child developed normally? Is the child healthy?
And there should be a way of looking at that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what frightens me most, and what I've really learned from you, is the importance and the significance of fats.
Yes.
And I've made it part of my life, and I've used it to get rid of 34 pounds.
Oh, good for you. Well, the fats are so important, and all traditional cultures valued the animal fats above everything else. And they're very important for men and women to consume before conception in a preconceptual diet, and then for the mother to consume during pregnancy, during lactation, and the child during the period of growth. You know, there was a very interesting study. It was quite embarrassing to the researchers. It was out of Harvard University, where they found that women who were on low-fat diets, drinking skim milk, avoiding animal fats, not eating butter, they had trouble getting pregnant, whereas the women on high-fat diets did not have trouble getting pregnant. So you know what their message was? Well, if you're having trouble getting pregnant, drink whole milk and eat ice cream. They didn't bring themselves to say eat butter, but eat ice cream, and then when you get pregnant, you can go back to your low-fat diet. Now, this is
so this is a hangover.
This is like genocide, really, because don't you think that the diet that you need to get pregnant is the same diet you need to produce
nourish the baby?
Yeah.
You know, this is ringing really close to the Impossible Burger ethic, which is you eat the Impossible Burger because it's more ethical than eating animals.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yes, right.
And that's their what they say. But you know, the more I think about this, the more it appears to me that they would like to get rid of animal agriculture so that they could control the only source of protein, which would be their patented...
Protein blends.
protein blends.
Except for themselves. I mean, I think people at the very top know very well that we need animal foods to be healthy. And I always say at my talks, you know, people say it's more spiritual to not eat animal foods. Well, the spiritual diet is the diet that keeps you healthy and strong and cheerful, helps you sleep well at night, helps you feel good about life, and helps you complete tasks and be a useful world citizen. And that is not the vegetarian or vegan diet. I'm just about to sneeze. And there was a survey done in England a few years ago, and they found that people who self-identified as vegetarians or vegans had more tooth decay, they needed more medical care, they had a lower quality of life, they had more mental illness, and they had more cancer than people who identified as meat eaters. And, of course, they're making so many promises to young people, especially young women, about how they're going to be healthier and more spiritual if they don't eat meat. And they're not telling these young girls that it'll probably be very hard for them to get pregnant later in life. And I always say, you know, when you're a teenager, the most important things are being popular and being beautiful and having nice clothes and everything. But when you get to a certain age, the most important thing to you is going to be having a healthy baby.
Amen. Now, we really can understand how they can talk vegetarians and vegans into eating a plant patty.
That bleeds. Yes, right.
If you can talk them into that, you can talk anybody into anything.
Anything, yes, yeah. Yes. It's a huge propaganda campaign at our young women. It is going to result not only in bad health for these young women, but the inability to have children.
Well, this is scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
It is scary. So, how take us through the process of a better way of feeding our babies. And you've got it in the Weston A. Price. Just look for Weston A. Price and baby formula, and you'll see it. But walk us through it.
Well, it really starts with the diet before conception and during pregnancy, because that influences how the baby is formed and developed. And that is a very nutrient-dense diet that includes meats and liver and raw milk and cod liver oil, plenty of egg yolks, and plenty of seafood. And then that diet continues while the mom is breastfeeding. And then the first foods for baby are not cereal and not pureed peaches or anything like that, but pureed liver and soft egg yolks.
Now, will babies eat pureed raw liver?
They absolutely do, and it's not raw, it's cooked.
Cooked.
And we actually, I did a blog called Bringing Up Baby, four-part blog, and I have a really cute video of a baby getting his liver. He's just kicking his feet and legs with glee.
Wow. And it's probably because they have not been taught that liver tastes bad.
Right. Well, and it tastes good. You add salt. It's very. By the way, salt is critical for neurological development, and the manufacturers do add sodium and chloride to these formulas because they actually got in trouble a number of years ago with a low sodium diet, low chlorine diet, and the babies ended up retarded. So there was a huge lawsuit about this, and they learned their lesson.
Essentially, it seems like you're telling us that they just use the cheapest things they can use get by.
Yes, yes. And then they promote these formulas even to women who've just had babies. If you've just had a baby, you will receive in the mail promotional materials for baby formula. And you'll receive free baby formula in the hospitals. Now, Sweden was able to achieve 95% breastfeeding in the first month by forbidding any baby formula in the hospitals.
Ah.
And we need to do that. And groups have tried to do that, but the manufacturers always get around it somehow.
It reminds me of being in the Navy when they gave you free cigarettes.
Yeah, right.
Gee, thanks. So, we're walking through the process, and it starts with before conception.
Yes, yes.
How much does that diet have to do with conception?
Well, it has a lot to do with conception, and we've had plenty of parents who were not conceive once they got on this very nutrient diet with plenty of animal fats.
Mm-hmm. What did doctors say about your diet?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, most of them will tell their patients that this is not a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm. And because they're still adrift in the anti-fat world of the American Heart Association.
Yes. The American Heart Association was formed to promote a diet low in cholesterol and saturated fat. That's their mission statement. So they're an advertising arm of the industrial seed oil industry. And, of course, they're very influential in the government as well.
And so there you are. And yeah. Everybody believes the American Heart Association because
right.
The American Heart Association is watching out for our heart. So,
right.
So these nutrient-dense, fat-dense diets are very important for conception and for the gestation?
Yes, yes.
And for the feeding of the baby.
Right.
And then,
by the way, yeah, just going back to the American Heart Association, when it was formed, there were about 600,000 deaths per year from heart attack in the United States, and that number is about the same today, 650,000 deaths from heart attack in the United States. And so this is with all of the cholesterol-lowering drugs and the low-fat diet and the heart stents and everything else that they do. The number hasn't changed.
But the population has grown.
A bit, but it's also going down now. So
there you go. It is. Why is the population going down?
Because of the widespread infertility due to the replacement of animal fats with vegetable oils. It's as simple as that.
And perhaps that's not the only thing, too. Perhaps there's a lot of the problems we're having with cognition caused by babies that were raised on baby formula that didn't have any real good fats.
That's right. That's absolutely right, Michael.
So the answer is get close to your food, especially with respect to fats.
Yes. You know, they go to our website, WestonAPrice.org, and under health topics, they click on children's health. We have a number of articles about the formula, about feeding babies, and about the scandal of the infant formula.
And it is a scandal.
Yeah, absolute scandal.
Okay. If Sally Fallon Morrell could develop the perfect baby formula, what would you do?
Well, the perfect baby formula is breastfeeding by healthy mothers.
Okay.
Mothers on our diet, breastfeeding. And if that is not possible for whatever reason, then we have three recipes on our website, one based on cow's milk, one based on goat milk, and the third one is actually a meat-based formula, which has been very successful in babies who, for whatever reason, can't tolerate the dairy foods. And, you know, Gerber used to have a meat-based formula that they sold, and that's gone now. And what they brought out was a soy-based formula.
Ooh.
And the soy, I mean, I think we just need to touch on this quickly. The soy is a poison. It should never have been approved for giving to babies. It's very hard for babies to digest. It causes thyroid problems in the babies. And it's loaded with plant-based estrogens. And a baby on soy-based formula has 13,000 to 22,000 higher levels of estrogens in the blood than a baby on milk-based formula. Parents need to know this.
And those that want to eat Impossible Burgers should also know it.
Yes, yes. I think the Impossible Burgers, I think that might be pea protein.
No, they switched to soy.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. 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 So there you go. Get rid of all of the animals and just live on soy.
Yes, that's what they want. Yeah.
That's what they want. Wow. You've left us with some very frightening news. I think, you know, among the all of the most frightening news is the fact that babies need cholesterol.
Yes,
can't make it themselves.
Yes.
Can't get it out of soy.
And can't get it out of baby formula.
And can't get
There's
it
no
out of
no cholesterol baby in the baby formula.
Sally Fallon Morrell, finder at Weston A. Price Foundation, or the Nourishing Traditions book. But whatever you do, find her. Thank you, Sally.
I have a blog, Nourishing Traditions.
Nourishing also. Traditions. Okay. Whatever you do, find Sally Fallon Morrell and raise a baby. We need them. Thank you, Sally.
We need some healthy babies. Yes. Yep. Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.